Hey, good Wednesday morning. Live from RKGGF Studios here in downtown Coffeyville. I'm Sam Speck. Glad you're with us as we're joined in studio. It is Wildcat Wednesday. The K-State Research and Extension offices join us as James Coover and Jacob Weber join us here in studio. As you guys, we haven't seen you since the last weekend. As some holiday weekend in store as well. Did you guys have a, pun intended, Good Friday as well as a good Easter Sunday? Jacob, we'll start with you. Did you go anywhere?
We went to church lots of times. of course, one of the Easter Vigil church over in Pittsburgh, we went to Our Lady of Lourdes, 2.5 hours. So you better have a good bladder.
I was going to say, you better be ready for that one. Better be ready either with an extra water bottle or, like you said, a good bladder to keep you through. Well, very cool. I'm glad you guys had a good Easter. James, did you do anything special? Did you go anywhere or did you just kind of stay here?
No. I mean, we went to Grandma's house.
And there you go.
Easter dinner and all that. So it was good to see the family again.
Yeah, that was a good classic. That was one of my favorites. Certainly something I missed this year is hitting the grandparents' house. So it was always one of my favorite things. Classic meal always on Easter. So, well, great, guys. Glad that you could make it in here on this Wednesday. James, we haven't spoken with you in a couple of weeks here, and it looks like we've got a couple of courses that you guys have got coming up. I know Jerry hit on a couple of them last week, but at the same time, you've got some more information on these as well. So kind of explain to me about this mushroom course, because it's coming up here pretty quick before April ends.
Yeah. So, I mean, this mushroom course is just next week. And so the first option is for April the 29th at Independence. From 5:30 to 7:30, and the second option is in Crawford County in April the 30th from 5:30 to 7:30. And really, this mushroom workshop, we're going to basically just talk about home mushroom production. And really, it's pretty simple, actually. There's two main ways to do mushrooms at home. One, you can do them in straw bags, and another one, you can do them in logs. And so for the straw bags, we'll start off by just boiling straw. Just boil straw, stuff it into a plastic bag, add some inoculum, and then after a couple of weeks, the bag will be completely infected in a way, and you'll cut holes in it, and mushrooms will grow out of it.
Huh, like, that's interesting.
It's really pretty simple.
Yeah, so the bag method, Jerry kind of went into it last week with the logs as well, how you guys would bore the holes in, and then at the same time, you know, the inoculum, and then all of a sudden, you've got mushrooms growing out of a log, so... It's kind of an interesting take to it, and you're growing some pretty popular mushrooms there as well, right?
Yeah, shiitake and oyster mushrooms, very simple, like easy-to-going mushrooms, and so we like to start off with those. There are some other ones that you can do in logs, like lion's mane and all sorts of other weird, funky-looking mushrooms that you can grow, but, you know, to begin with, it makes sense to do two that are easy, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and the sounds of it, too, is you're walking home with these as well, and then you can maintain them after you get them, so it's not necessarily just gaining the information. You're also gaining the mushrooms to take home.
Yeah. At the workshop, you'll actually get to take home the bags, and you get to take home the logs and everything you'll need, so.
Nice, very cool. So I know it's next week, but is there still opportunities to register? Did you guys have a cutoff date, or basically how do people get involved with this?
Nope, just give us a call. I mean, we can only fit about 20 people into a workshop, and so give us a call soon, because as soon as it fills up, I don't have the material to go out any farther than that. And so just give us a call at the extension office, you know, in Independence or in Crawford. So.
Gotcha. And I think Jerry said, what was it, $20 or something like that
for
the workshop?
Yeah, $20 to help me pay for all the materials we use.
So. Gotcha. And then also, too, for people that are interested or maybe coming right now, just a quick reminder, maybe bring a drill as well. What was the bit size that you guys had recommended to bring if you have a drill? Because Jerry said you had a couple, but at the same time, it's good to bring your own.
Yeah, and so when we're drilling these logs, these ash logs, you know, you'll need a corded drill, something with quite a bit of power to it to get through all of them. But also bring a 5/16 and a 7/16 drill bit, because those are the size of the plugs that we're going to be using to inoculate the logs.
Gotcha. Very cool. Okay, so that's coming up next week, and then it looks like you got some more courses. Are those later in the summertime and coming up in May, or when can we expect these guys?
Yeah, so this is one of Jerry's, the Farm Pond Management meeting, and I'm sure she talked about that on May the 16th.
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah, she kind of went over it a little bit, but coming up May the 16th it is. Is there a registration process, or kind of what does that entail?
Yeah, for that one, just give us a call. You know, the Wildcat District or the Southwind District, it's a collaboration between us two, and it'll be in Hepler, Kansas, and so, you know, in Crawford County there, And we're just going to talk about fish management, about stocking. We're going to talk about aquatic weed control, which there's a lot of questions that come into the extension office about, you know, just managing ponds right now. And so,
yeah, I know that was a big thing last year when I first kind of started doing the 690 gig and doing these interviews as well. That was a big thing you guys had hit on, and a lot of questions usually come up about that. So this is a good course to avoid those questions. You can just go and get that information yourself. So very cool. So that one, I know Jerry hit on it quite a bit. Is there any other courses that you got over there? I know you guys, I see some flyers over there, James. Are you hiding something?
Well, for now, I just got these main two. Originated. There's more in the works. So,
certainly, certainly. I know you guys always have, and a great place to find any of these is your guys' website. It's a great place that I find information for our stories as well. So is that just kstateextension.com, or how can they find that?
www.ksre.ksu.
There you go. That's what I was looking for. Usually I just put it into Google Independence K-State Research Extension. It's usually the best place to do it. Right at the top of the listings there. So very cool. All right. So James, again, thanks so much for kind of going back over those. We got one coming up at the end of April and then one coming up in May and then more information again online as well. So Jacob, tell me a little bit about what you've been.
Well, okay, two things that I have to say. I went to my daughter's place for Easter dinner.
Okay, where's your daughter's at?
She's in Pittsburgh.
Oh, up in Pittsburgh, that's what it is.
Yep, and I would be in trouble if I didn't mention it.
So, I had to get it out.
And the other thing is a lot of times I get questions about wild mushrooms being edible, and I have to refer back to a wise old sage who says, all mushrooms are edible, some of them only once.
Ooh, yeah. Do you want to take that risk?
You want to take the risk. That's right. Well, look out. If a person wants to eat wild mushrooms, you better have somebody that is an expert that knows what they're doing, because if you don't, you may be in serious trouble. Yeah. Very quick. Wiped out your kidneys. Some of them are not even that forgiving. Mm.
Jeez. So, well, and for somebody, I mean, this is it, like somebody like me that has no idea the difference of them. But say somebody that's, you know, I've looked on Google. I know this information. Are mushrooms kind of similar in looks or from one to another? Or
some
is
of them can be very confusing. Very confusing. And I will never tell a person whether or not a mushroom is edible. Other than if it's in the store and it's labeled for food, that I'll tell you, that one's edible.
That'll work out for you. Yeah exactly. So might as well not take the risk.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Might as well not take the
but
risk.
But I know what a morel mushroom, a morel looks like. Really, it's a different, it's not
probably
a...
Probably the safest one is morels.
Yeah, it's very easy to identify, and I am now certified to identify morel mushrooms.
There you go.
Because I took a course.
I was going to say, you guys had that course, what was it, like a month ago or something like that, of morel mushrooms. So I know you get a lot of questions around this time of the year, especially with this cooler weather as well, about the sycamores.
Sycamore trees, this is a perfect setup for a disease called sycamore anthracnose. And also there's diseases on maple and ash and elm, also called anthracnose. Now, it's not caused by the same organism, but it's just a common name that they share for the disease name, a common disease name. But sycamore anthracnose is a leaf, bud, and shoot blight, and it is on the trees. Most sycamore trees are already infected from previous years, and the inoculum is there. What I mean by inoculum, the spores that, when under suitable environmental conditions, will germinate, penetrate the tissue, and cause disease where the tissue is destroyed, damaged, or otherwise distorted. So it's going to happen because perfect environment is the sycamore trees leafing out, bud break, leaf emergence, and cool, wet weather. And we're in that phase right now.
Yeah, right in the middle of it.
So your sycamore trees have leaves on them, and they're leafing out. We're going to have some shade here pretty soon. We'll look out. In 2 weeks, they'll be brown. They'll be mostly brown. You'll see the leaves falling on the ground. And they get all concerned. They need to spray the tree. There's no recommendation to ever spray the tree If a person wants to spend the money and put on a fungicide, a copper-based fungicide, prior to bud swell, it's too late now. And that's the only effective time to treat a tree. And it really isn't cost-effective, because what happens is you have this blight, and in about 3 weeks after you see the symptoms, the tree's fully leafed out and it never looks like anything has ever happened to it. Yeah. So it's going to happen.
Yeah, well, and with that, the duration, you know, you said it happens very quick. It's a fast-acting thing. Is this something that is basically going to last all season, and we just expect our sycamore to be back next year and hope for the weather? Or?
It only happens in cool, wet weather in the spring. This is infection period. Once the weather warms up, infection period is done. It won't happen for the rest of the year. Sycamore trees are a type of tree that keeps producing new leaves all summer long. The shoots never terminate into a terminal bud. Like oak trees, they'll produce a shoot of so long of a length, depending on the vigor and the age of the tree. And then by mid-June, it sets a terminal bud, and it doesn't leaf out again. Now, some oak trees will have a second flush of growth, depending on the weather. But once those terminal buds are set on certain trees, they don't produce any more growth for the rest of the season. So if they get a leaf blight, it knocks leaves off. They won't leaf out again. But there are always exceptions there. One of them is like the pecan trees. If heavy infestation of fall webworm early in the season, the first generation eliminates most of the leaves on the pecan tree. They'll leaf out again. They'll pop buds and produce more foliage for the fall, which is a way of rescuing themselves as far as capturing energy, but they use up a lot of energy to produce that second flush. And so the consequence is that the tree reserves the energy for foliage production and eliminates nut production the following year, or pretty much eliminates it. So that's what can happen as a result. The trees take care of themselves in a way, but sycamore trees, they'll just sail right on through this, and they'll have lots of foliage and lots of leaves to rake up in the fall.
How interesting, you know, how such a time of the year where it seems a lot of things will strive and cooler temperatures, a lot of damp, and then a lot of things as well are more damaging by this weather. How frustrating that must be to have outside and expect everything to succeed. So I'd love to get a little bit more into this about sycamores as well. And if you guys out there listening have any questions, feel free to call in here on the Mighty 690 KGGF.